Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
It's the Serena Pearl Unshow with a side of Dan.
Unscripted, unpretentious,
unpredictable,
un everything.
And we're here to untight your uptight.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Danny's here, but he doesn't do the... Have you noticed that he doesn't introduce our unshows, only our regular Trim Healthy Mama podcast?
You just said welcome to the podcast.
Well, this is a podcast.
Oh,
it's
that's
the unshow
the unshow's a podcast. That's right.
It is a
Where
podcast.
Where have I been? Well, we used to do the unshow as a radio show, you see.
So. I don't do the intros here. I mean, my rate's going to have to go up.
Yeah, we can't
pay
him
enough. Two lollipops, xylitol lollipops instead of one.
Oh, those are xylitol?
Yes. Why do you think Pearl's sucking away?
I thought y'all were just sinful today.
I never suck on a sugar lollipop.
I just
didn't
know.
And it's not like you buy a lollipop.
Like, there's some things that I'm willing to stoop to sugar for, but they better be good, like tiramisu, right?
Yeah,
I'm going to do a tiramisu cake on occasion
for me, it's cheesecake.
But I'm not going to suck on a lollipop with sugar. That's a waste of sugar.
Agree.
It's a waste of sugar.
It's the same for me. Somebody offers some cheap gas station sugar treat, and I'm like, absurd.
Like a honey bun?
No, not a honey bun. But then there's a piece of homemade cheesecake on the Christmas table.
Yeah, it's time.
And I don't have a choice.
Sometimes it's all about, you know, what does Serene call it? Vitamin P pleasure.
Yeah.
Vitamin P pleasure is so important in life. We can get pleasure out of healthy things. And then on those just sometimes occasions, we have a piece of tiramisu.
Look. If tiramisu just pleased my socks off, I'd do tiramisu. But yuck yum just does it for me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yuck yum. Hey, I wanted to bring a subject today on the Unshow since we're allowed to talk about whatever we wanted.
I can't take you seriously with the lollipop in the mouth.
Okay, I'm going to put
like
it down.
Like you work at the bank and you're the one trying to poison all my children.
They do offer all the junk at the bank. Here's the places where your children can become addicted to sugar. Okay.
Church number one.
Church. First of all, they go and get the donuts before church, you know.
Well,
especially
I
love me some Baptist, but especially at your Baptist churches and then your potlucks.
What are you guys on, a church tour?
Yeah, we've been on church tours.
You just
before.
Been there. Okay.
We've been there. And banks.
We grew up there, Dan.
Oh, when you go to Kroger and you pass the bakery, they give out free cookies.
That
to
is
children.
The worst.
And they're not good. It's not even worth your sugar.
No, it's not.
But once your children has had one, they always want to go back there every time.
We going to Kroger's, mommy?
What's the other place where children get addicted to sugar?
Oh, you said banks. You said church, which was number one. And you said the Kroger's and...
Relative's house.
Yeah,
it's the mother-in-law.
The in-laws.
Bless, but that's not what this
Who's
unshow's
not been indoctrinated
about.
By the Trim Healthy
but
Gospel.
But it's an unshow, so we've got to do some
points. We're allowed to have as many rabbit trails as we want.
Yeah.
Please never, ever. You're entitled to send us get to the point, guys,
but
for our
for this
Trim
show.
Healthy Mama podcast. On the unshow, we're just going to screw that mail up and toss it.
Let me just tell you about the podcast and the unshow. It's all your choice, people.
Trim Healthy Mama podcast, yeah.
Yeah. The Trim Healthy Mama podcast, yes, Pearl, Mrs. Pearl. And the podcast, the unshow, they're all your choice.
Choices.
You can choose not to partake. So
of any.
Yeah. So it's not that all these girls make me so mad with the rabbit trails. No, you can choose to listen or
Are
not to listen.
Are we a little bit combative today?
Well, it's, you know, it's just, hey. Life's too short to not have a few rabbit trails.
I thought you were going to say life's too short to not be combative.
You know, if you're just straight point, you're rushing.
Ooh.
You're not stopping down to smell the roses. You're not stopping down to go through the rabbit trails to see the wildflowers bloom.
Oh, Serene, that was beautiful.
End the podcast. End it. It's over.
Yeah, we're done. But I wanted to bring this really interesting topic.
Okay, then start it back.
I wanted to talk about codependency in marriage.
Ooh.
Now, let's just go deep. Okay, I was thinking the other day. It's sort of like pop culture not to be codependent when you're married. Now, I know there's two different meanings for codependent. I'm talking the meaning of pop culture where a codependent person is where you're just sort of relying on your other one. You sort of feel like you can't live without them and you just want to do everything with them and you always want to be with them and you feel like you're hardly yourself without them and you're only half a person.
It's true, kind of the true meaning if you break the words apart, co and dependent, put them together.
Okay, now that, dear friends, dear listeners, is frowned on in this day and age. Now, I know, Danny, do you know the actual proper therapy meaning for codependency is something different? And that's not what we're talking about. What
it's
is
when
it?
You're actually enabling
I
somebody.
I asked Danny. Oh, he's hired here. He's supposed to like earn
he's
his money.
He's going to earn his two lollipops.
Supposed to be an expert on all things psychology.
Yeah, he's supposed to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, they're usually when we talk about codependency, it is in negative context.
I was saying that, but isn't there a therapy? I'm going to go back to Serene if you don't bring me the correct
Can
name.
I do it? Up and down my hand. I want to be the Miss Good Girl in the class.
Okay.
I think what it is when, you know, you're actually in a relationship where the other person's so dependent on you that you're enabling them in every area of their life. You're actually doing them harm because you're enabling them in their, maybe in their addiction to drugs or to whatever, because maybe you keep bailing them out of a situation. They're never learning.
Right. So that is...
That's different, though.
Yeah.
We're not talking about...
That's a therapy form of codependency, and that's not what we're saying, talking about today. So can we completely remove
that? Yes, move that. We're just talking about the street word. I don't want to be codependent, or I just want to be independent. I just want to have myself separate from, you know...
Okay, so we're going back to street word codependency. So I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I remember a time about 10
Did
years...
Did I earn the lollipop?
Yes, you got it.
And I lost it.
Give it to her, Danny.
Here.
I was
okay.
Thinking about 10 years ago, codependency was – the word was starting to come up on my radar. And I thought to myself, oh, I don't want to be a codependent wife. You know, I need to be who I am and myself. Now, sure, our significant other can never make us truly happy because
I hate
people.
That word, significant other, by the way.
We're like, you know, our spouse, our husband or wife.
Thank you.
Golly, do I have to be so perfect?
Well, we're going to talk about words that make up set, like codependency, significant
let's be
other.
Perfect then.
Can't we just call them a lovely wife or a lovely
we
husband?
We can, but he is my significant.
Yeah, I know, but it's
so I think it's
the
quite
pop culture
beautiful.
Has changed it to like what your significant other is a dog.
Okay,
I don't know.
True. All right, so I was thinking about it. And
a dog?
May I?
Yes, Beryl.
May I? Yes.
Have the mic.
Leslie Bell her. I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, I don't want to be codependent, you know? And so I was like, and that's where people go out to find themselves, who they truly are, right? So then he's doing his thing and she's going on her vacation and finding herself. Oops. And I don't need you and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this separately. Now, honestly, my husband and I have way different interests and I do different things, but I was just thinking recently, I have come to want to be the most codependent wife in the world and I love it.
Isn't your marriage better than it used to be?
Yeah, I love it that my husband's codependent on me. In the essence of the word, I want to change codependent, co standing for corporation, dependent on one another. Isn't that what marriage should all be about? You know what? I am just half a person without my husband. He makes me, I mean, it's that word, you complete me, God completes me, but he is the other part of me. We're one. If you're one, you're two halves of one whole, right?
Yes, you are. Boy, I love it. And I just feel like, Pearl, it's the very essence of marriage. It's the very essence of our relationship with God, why we're created. We were created for a relationship with him. We're not meant to be created to be little independent islands unto ourselves. It never works. We're not self-made people. We're actually not, and we never will be, and we will never find true happiness, and we'll never find true anything when we're just trying to do everything alone. We're made to be dependent. We're made to be dependent on God, and we're made to be dependent on our spouse. We're made to be dependent on hopefully, if our family's healthy, family around us. We're made to be dependent. That's why we love the Hilltop.
Yeah, family.
If I don't have eggs, you got them.
Okay, damn.
If I need a trip to the store and my car's broken down, you're taking
me. It's the Serene and Pearl on the show, and here we are again
for a trim healthy tip.
Formulas. They tell you how to do stuff. Now, when Serena and I wrote our very first book, our self-published book called Trim Healthy Mama back in 2012, it took us 5 years to write, and let me tell you.
Available wherever books are sold.
It was so wrong on so many levels. It was almost 700 pages, was not proofread properly. There were spelling mistakes in it. It rebelled against every formula. Yeah, it was too expensive. We threw a $35 price tag on it just because we thought no one's going to buy it anyway, right? But the message connected. Women like us were done with dieting, right? They wanted a way to find their trim and healthy that was fun and easy, and including all food groups. So it didn't matter about formula. If we had taken that book to any sort of book publisher, they would have laughed at us and said, no thanks, you know, goodbye.
You guys are morons.
Come back when it's 200 pages.
Yeah. This is cute.
But it doesn't matter. If something connects, I say throw formula out. If there's something in your life that you have found that there was a need in your life and it fixed it, you don't need a formula for that. Other people are going to be, you know, enhanced by that. And that's all that you really need. Fulfill a need. If you've got something that can fulfill a need, you can make a company, a career. You can change the world. Forget about formulas. You're listening to the Serena Perlan Show, and be very clear on this. It stands for unprofessional. Hey, that's the way we roll around here.
I got to throw some balance down.
All right, come on.
What if I want to stick a lollipop in your mouth?
Then that might be kind of cool. Those look delicious.
Xylitol lollipops.
So,
hey, are we advertising for them or something?
No, we're not. They were just here on the.
You haven't given a name brand, have you?
No,
Zollipops.
They were here on the well, the potty.
They owe us $5. So,
coffee table.
My wife has asked me, "Why do you love me?" And my answer to her has been consistent since the day we met, and this is my answer. And someone needs to put this in a movie because I improvised it the first time.
What if I hate it?
But now it's a script and it's poetry. My answer to her is, I don't love you because...
Are you making up now?
It seems like you forgot it. There was a long pause.
No, I just had to suck the tear back.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was a pregnant pause. You did it for like drama?
I don't love you because you're beautiful. Because if you cease to be beautiful, I wouldn't love you anymore. I don't love you because you do nice things for me or because you're healthy. Because if you stop doing nice things for me and if you stop being healthy, I wouldn't love you anymore. Therefore, my dear, I love you for no reason at all.
That is beautiful.
Now,
that doesn't change anything.
Now, here's my point.
That boosts what we're
here's
talking
my
about.
Point. Here's my point. If...
There it depended on her being her soul.
Let him pull his point and then we'll pull it apart.
Thank you. I want to pull it
apart. Then we'll pull it apart. I'm glad I know what I'm in for. There is for me, I think, a healthy separation. There is both a union and a oneness with my wife. And yes, I do depend on her to meet certain needs. However, if those needs stop being met, where does my love go away?
We're not talking about needs.
Nah.
We're talking about soul to soul.
Ooh, not needs at all,
no,
actually.
We're talking about I don't exist well without being connected to you.
Okay, so.
But
so
then what if death do you part? Are you going to exist okay? See, there's that.
Are you going to be okay?
I was thinking soulfully with God right then. That's what I was
right,
I was thinking.
No, but in the marriage, Danny has a point. And okay, let's just say we're married.
Well, when the marriage ends, and then you have to be released from that.
We have to be okay if, as whole people, you're
right.
But
I don't think you prep for that while you're married to that
person. I know, but darling,
you're
butting in a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
When she's passionate, she will do it.
I know, she will.
Yeah.
You can't get your sentence out.
No. So scared that you guys are going to hammer in your bad point.
I'm the one
she doesn't even want it to be said.
Teach society the worst.
Serene doesn't want all our listeners to be taught wrong. But I'm the one that brought this codependency is brilliant, Serene. But I see what Dan's saying. It is a good balance. It needs to be said. We have to be whole people in ourselves, okay? And that, let's just say, one, we lose not our significant other, but our husband or wife. Yes, you grieve and stuff, but you have to be whole and that your life goes on, okay? Now, I am half a person while I am married because my other half, it's the other half. You even say that. It's a saying, hey, there's my other half.
Yeah.
We are two halves because we are living in that union. Now, when you're out of that union, you're pulled out for whatever circumstances, you have to be whole again. So you have to have a certain sense of self, of course.
But guess what? The self is where I don't like it. A certain sense of belonging maybe to something even deeper. I don't think self ever, ever, ever makes you feel right because it's not the right way to go. I feel like a healthy marriage is only healthy because you are whole in God. The one is whole in God, the other is whole in God. So if one passes away, you're still whole because you're whole in God. But like there's a physical example of it when you're married that they are the
half. But when I'm saying a sense of self, I only have a great sense of self because God loves me.
Right, exactly.
And because what he's spoken into me and who he has made
me. But we're speaking against street culture here. In the street culture, and maybe half the people that are listening, if they're not, you know, into the Bible or whatever, a sense of self is what the world teaches them a self sense of self is. And it's kind of like their self-esteem and what they have become and maybe their image in the world and success and all of that stuff around them. I don't think it's necessarily...
Yeah, true. But let's just put God aside and religion aside and what we believe aside.
Yes.
Okay, let's just look at marriage itself. You can have still a very beautiful marriage without ascribing to Christianity. It's true. People have had long-lasting, full-of-love marriages.
Take me, for example.
You hilarious.
You don't go to church, Dan, but you do the love the Father God.
I do.
And Jesus Christ, his Son.
I do.
But all I'm saying is...
Look, you were waiting. You see her waiting for my answer? It was just a moment.
Serene, we have people listening, right? So I want to go there.
No, totally. I want to go there too. I'm just trying to say...
I'm saying you can have a good marriage, but I still feel like you got to be codependent on the other.
No, you totally can. I know.
In that way.
I know non-believers who have better marriages than some believers, but it doesn't change the point that in... That just personally, I feel like that my marriage wouldn't be as good as it is, and it will prayerfully get better every day the more I cling to God. I do believe because He is where love comes from.
My marriage would be over without God. Come on, it would be, but it's spectacular because of God.
Yes,
but if you had seasons in your marriage where your husbands have fulfilled zero of your. Go down the list of all your quote needs and wants, and they're delivering none of them.
Right,
you can still be dependent on them.
Your love remains.
For love, yes, because we're not talking about what they're giving us. We're talking about dependent on them because they're our other half. Dependent on them in a soulful, connected way.
Yeah, and dependent on them for what you give them too.
I believe. But what
because
I'm
when
is,
you give, you get back, and it just happens.
But I mean, that
maybe
soul
you're not
connection.
Getting back stuff as much as you're just getting back satisfaction that you're serving.
What if you don't have the soul connection is what I'm saying.
Well, you started off with one. I don't believe in that junk. Okay, let's go there.
You're one. Sorry. It's scientific. Let's do science always backs everything up in the end. It's scientific. When you become one flesh, there is a soul tie and you're a soul.
Oh, I agree with that.
Okay, but I'm talking about where you can be in marriage and then you say, and then you realize, I don't think he's my soulmate. I don't think she's my soulmate. I think that's a feeling. And I... think that's a bunch of junk because one
sorry
minute,
all you Bible believers out there I said the four letter word
she said the Christian curse
what
word
was
she
it?
Said crap
well it just makes me very passionate about it because you know because it, marriage isn't about every feeling and someday you know we've gone through situations you know with great friends of ours who have decided after 30 years that they're not soulmates and it's just saddest thing on
if
the
you
human
can just,
race
if you can be one soulmates thing. One day right and decide you're a soulmate, let's get married. 20 down the year, years down the track, you're not my soulmate anymore.
That's exactly the point I'm making, is that if it can't be based on just this dependency from this other person because when they stop meeting those needs
but,
in
but
your
it's
mind.
It's not about needs is what Pearl and I are trying to say. Our version of codependency is not like because he pumps the gas for me and because he, you know, he actually does the dishes unlike other husbands and because, you know, he actually provides this bill
or
and this
tells
blah, blah, blah.
Me I'm beautiful.
Yeah. Or absorbs
it's
your
not
anxiety.
That, it's a mindset. My codependent, when I say, openly, I'm codependent on my husband. I announce that. I even tell my husband, I'm so codependent on you. It's a cute word because it's so looked down on, okay? Yeah. So we say it.
Yeah, you're having fun with
it. My codependency is a complete mindset of who he is to me and who I am to him in the magnitude of oneness. It's not what he does for me. It's not what he says for me. It's none of that. It is how I see it and how I want a vision
while
for my marriage
to be. While he is alive, Yeah. You are not complete without him.
Oh,
while he is alive.
I think I may see what you're saying. It's soulfully. So the codependency you're speaking of is not contingent on you or him. It's this third piece of the union that you have together.
It's the union.
It's like the circle. It's only a circle with you in there because it's only like some half thing without the person. So I'm not really completing the picture without the other.
In that case, I'm codependent on my wife.
There you go. I think it's just all the way you were looking at. All I really wanted to bring, and I guess it took a long time for us to explain, I just wanted to bring to this unshow that I feel like codependency, the word has got a bad rap. Mm-hmm. And why can't
it's we the Serene and Pearl unshow. Hey, let's talk about it.
How to stay married. Hey, you're going to think this is a strange way to stay married, but I've realized it's important. Receive a compliment, girls, from your husband. Okay, for many years, I couldn't do this. Every time he said, "You're so beautiful," I would say, "Oh, I'm glad your love is blind." Or I'd say, "I'm glad you think so, honey. You're so crazy." I'm like, thanks, but I look horrible today. How can you think that? I mean, I would come up with every excuse in the book not to just say, thanks. I couldn't do it. It felt wrong. It felt almost prideful. And then another part of me was so insecure. I thought, well, he's crazy anyway. How could he think I was beautiful? And then till one day my husband said to me, "You know, when you don't accept my compliments, I married you. I thought I got a great catch. And you're saying to me, I have bad taste." Because one day he said to me, "I love your face." And I'm like, "Oh, my freckles. How can you love me?" And he was like, "What? Am I a man with no taste, no style? I got a good thing and it's like you're putting me down." And so I think when, you know, we say something encouraging to our spouses, we need to just say, "Hey, thanks. Yeah, you picked a good one."
You know, it's such an interesting point because imagine if your husband came home and said, "Hey, look at this awesome deal I got at this garage sale. Look, isn't this a cool tool? I mean, oh, it's a piece of junk."
Right.
You know, he'd be like, "Oh, my taste is bad." I get your point, Pearl. It's awesome.
Yeah, you might talk him into not thinking you're pretty.
No, I think that's part
it's like,
of it.
Quit it. Don't talk him into it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we're gifts to our spouse, right? I mean, when we married, didn't we feel like, "Hey, I'm your gift, you're my gift." And don't we like not want to down the gift that we are?
I know what you're saying. There's a bit of rejection too when I tell my wife she's gorgeous or beautiful or something. She's like, "Oh, but even with this or that."
Does she ever just take it, Danny? Mrs. V, does she ever just say thanks?
You know, 10% of the time.
Yeah, we got to learn.
Yeah, women. I think women naturally.
And would you think she was prideful if she just said thanks? Would you like that?
No, I'd be like, it would be like, yeah, she's picking up what I'm putting down.
We are the unshow. No rules, no filters, anything goes. You are listening to the Serene and Pearl unshow.
Leslie, you have your hand up.
I want to ask you a question because to me, what you're saying is...
Don't worry, I won't say CRIP, what you say.
Dependent. In your mind, is there a difference between codependent and just dependent, taking the co out of there? Because...
It's a good question.
Like when you're on a tax form, your children are your dependents. And I depend on Steve, my honey.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know what to call him because he's my honey, right? Honey.
You ain't got the
I
ring
depend
yet,
on him. I depend on my, you know, like people that I don't know. Like, is there a, because I see now that, you know, the codependent millennial hip trending word.
Right.
I don't want to identify with that, but I understand it on another level.
Yes.
That, you know, that I've gone through some of that stuff. And for me, like codependency is that you are, anyway, my question is.
Yes, your question.
Is there a difference in your mind between
the
words
and codependent
and dependent?
Well, you know, who knows who is the boss of this word? And I don't think anyone is, right? So
especially not Dan.
I'm deciding to be the boss of this word today.
So I don't know, you know, who is the big, I don't know, Wizard of Oz that owns the word behind the thing? Nobody.
That's such
so,
a great fair okay. point.
So co, to me, is short for corporation, co-op, co-ed.
I see it short for there's two involved in this.
Yeah, at least, yeah, two. So co, dependent, they're dependent on one another. That's all it means to me. Now, your dependence, right? Our children, they completely depend on us. We don't necessarily depend upon them for our food, for our drink and all that. They give us love.
Sure.
But we can still go on without them. Whereas our children can't go on without us. They then have to go to another support system, another family. But it's a choice when there's two people in a union, a marriage.
That are already both. Raised, growing mm-hmm. up. Like
it's both bringing adults. Their dependency and putting them together and making it co.
Oh, I see this great thing. Children have no choice. They have to depend. But when adults yes, that are totally
choice,
totally,
choice
totally already adults, they can already survive alone. I feel like what you're saying, boss of the word, Pearl.
Yes, thank you.
President of the word, yeah. President Priscilla Pearl, is for new peeps.
I love being in charge of this word. And I'm the only one in the world.
What it's saying is you're actually giving over your independence as a gift.
Yes, 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 Serene.
So that's the difference. Dependents don't have a choice.
No.
True dependence. So when you're codependent in the Pearl sense of the word, you're saying, here's my independence, you lovely other half. I give
Look,
it to you.
Look at Leslie, she's running. But Serena, absolutely.
She's coming to the altar call. But Serena,
it,
I love it. I love it.
Pro-dependency?
Ooh, now that's a good one.
There you go.
Passamo. And she dropped the mic. I dropped
it. Passamo dropped the mic. Mic drop. Pro-dependency. Codependency leads to pro-dependency. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful, everybody?
Whoa. I love it.
Les so takes home I the gold it. Medal for the day.
It's like, Pearl, it's like say your husband's been away. Like, you know, my husband's had to work overseas, you know, for months on end. And sometimes you just... You have to end up doing the chores, you Zollipop sucker. Sorry, she's just licking away. And
she's
I'm just
wearing
so
out those
it.
Pops today.
You know, you get used to going and doing the errands, pumping your gas, doing all your needs, doing it, running the whole show, being the boss of the home, like doing it all. But it's that beautiful thing that when he walks through the door after so many months, it's like,
yeah,
I'm totally your dependent again. Like I'm totally...
Mm-hmm. And then Danny was saying it's not all about that, but I don't know if that worked.
No, it worked because I'm did? Just saying it's not about that. See, it's not about that. It's about even it shows that you're fulfilling your needs.
You're doing this after Leslie, you see.
No, but listen, how to fulfill the like just to run the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's not about that. But as soon as that other person, that's your other half, walks
you know
in
how
the
you're
room,
laying it down.
You
like,
lay
let's
it
back.
Down.
Let's
I'm
get back.
I'm exampling.
Actually, you might have had apart from Leslie the best thing of the day when you said you actually give your dependents over. We have no choice, so we choose.
And a lot of people too, husbands are in the military and they have to be it. They're husband and wife. They're cook and bottle washer. They're everything. But when their husband comes home, it's like, you know what? No. I lay this down.
I love a beautiful codependent marriage where you take that and you say, here's my gift. It's my dependency.
Even if you're better at the finances, even if you're better at all that stuff, it's like when the other comes in the room, no, let me hear what you have to say.
Mm.
Even if it stinks, people, you're still like, you know, am I going to a safe spot?
No, it's good. Bring it.
Because I am. Some women run the finances all just so that it runs better. But guess what? In the end, they've got a dumb marriage.
Oh, I think it's fine for some women to run finances.
No, I know that.
Okay.
But there's sometimes, no, I know. When the husband's cool with it.
Yeah.
But sometimes the husband really wants to just say, hey, let me take care of you in this way. But they're like, no, you're not good enough. I'm good. I'll do it.
Yep.
You're really just making his self-esteem go down worse.
Yes.
And maybe the finances and the bills are always paid on time, but maybe your marriage is suffering for it.
Oh, truth.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Bring that truth.
There's a point to say, even when you are better independent on
and
that subject.
That's when I give you my dependency, maybe, my gift.
Yeah. Maybe that's I'm when just I give sacrificing here for you. Just so that we prove that we're one.
Ooh.
And not like I'm the big mum.
Yeah.
The big mum. The big mum. That's what you don't want to marry.
No, the big mum.
I know, but that's what some of us can really turn into.
It's
you know,
so
we're
true.
The wonderful little princess, and then we get married and we become their big mum.
I feel like women, if they're not careful, can turn into the big mum. Mm. But like men, if they're not careful, can turn into the big baby.
Yes, true.
Like men are, I never like am overly fathering my wife ever.
I know. I love that about my husband.
Often like the child with a video game and he won't put it down to spend time with the family. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, or whatever, you know, like
But here's what I hate though. And I can, that happens, right? But sometimes I'm back to the woman again because, you know, I see me in these things. Sometimes we can foster that and label and put you in that box and it can speak into your waters because like, oh yeah, I have 5 children, 4 kids and my husband.
I know.
You know, and then it's just awful. He hears that, okay, well, you know, sure. I'm an idiot. You know when, this is what I hate, when the man is looked at as the idiot of the home.
I hate that.
And it's on every sitcom.
I was just married with
children. Every sitcom.
Never saw it.
Well, that was back in the 80s. She hasn't had TV since
you're
the 80s.
Married with children, so I hear.
I remember going to Pearl and Charlie's house when they just got married and I was just a little single girl.
Charlie used to watch that. In the end, I was like, as far as I laid my hand, you know, there's some things a woman needs, a wife needs, and a man needs. And I said, that show I'm not cool with.
The Simpsons, I read about in the newspaper.
No, but yeah.
I got a telegram once about this new show and they were just putting the men as the morons. And I responded.
No, but it's so true.
I am again it. Stop.
Pearl, it was a really good book. I didn't agree with everything in it. It was written somebody who I didn't agree with everything, but she had some great, great points. Yeah, dare we say the name?
No, yes, we can say the name.
What is it? I forget the name.
Powered Wife.
Yeah, yes, but it was all about, it was really incredible. She really understood a lot about marriage.
Can I just say that, though? When we recommend a book, you can't hold us to everything that author of that book says.
I actually ripped out a whole chapter.
Oh, no, I didn't. And I read that chapter. I didn't agree with it, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I didn't want it in my house.
Right, but we can't hold authors that we read to what our own beliefs. No. They might have lots of different beliefs we don't even know about. And then 2 years down the track, they could write an article and then we've recommended the book. And we're like, Pearl and Serene recommended that book and this person believes that, you see? Okay, that was a rant. That was a rant.
You caught it.
Oh, no, but it's just that we take
from stuff, right? Yeah. And we see truth in stuff, and you take the truth and you spit out the junk. You know, and maybe the other junk wasn't junk to somebody else.
I'm telling you.
But, and maybe they spat out the thing that we loved.
Yes.
But the deal is, where were we going with this? She was talking about how, you know, this one lady, she's like, my husband never gives me a Christmas gift. And it's just really sad. You know, I love Christmas. He knows I love Christmas and he never gives me a Christmas gift. You know, I have to go shopping for myself for Christmas. Well, come to find out in the story, and this lady doesn't believe in counseling for marriages. She's like, every time a person goes to counseling for marriage, it usually just like goes down the tubes because she was a counselor. She came from that hole. Yes. So she's not dissing it.
And we're not dissing counseling because what are we doing here?
No, but it's different though, because counseling for marriage, oftentimes you just go over the other person's problem.
Yeah, I know.
Over and over, and it becomes bigger protein in your brain. It's already a big protein in your brain. But anyway, she was saying how, come to find out that this woman had said the first Christmas gift this guy had ever given her in marriage, she's like, well, it's not my size. Can we take it back? Well, I really wish you hadn't gotten that color and blah, blah, blah. And just kind of pulled him apart.
And then he tried again a couple of Christmases.
Yeah.
And it's like, sure, okay.
And then she'd heard him say, yeah, my husband doesn't necessarily know how to buy me a Christmas gift or something. So now she's labeled him as the guy who isn't ever thoughtful enough to buy her a Christmas gift, but he's too scared. So we got to realize that sometimes we make our own as wives.
Yeah.
You know, we make our own names for our husband. We make our own titles for them that they actually walk into. Bed, thanks.
Yeah, and that was the whole my husband's a kid thing. You know it, you love it. It's a Serena Pearl on show. And now, what if you could?
What if you could?
What if you could?
What if you could imagine yourself thin?
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Do I sound like I'm like voodoo or something weird?
Yep.
It's truth, people. This is where it starts. Before the perfect eating plan, before the exercise program, it all starts in your mind. The ability to let yourself picture yourself thin and let go of whatever apple pear box that you've put yourself in and imagine.
Oh, you mean
start
shape?
Start to create it. Create your new shape.
Yep, yep.
It sounds crazy, I know, but doctors.
Don't we embrace our own shape, though? Yes, I'm.
pear.
No, I know. No, I just use it as a joke because it's like get out of the box that you're in. So okay. I'm like, get out of the apple or the pear. That was a joke.
Because I could be thin as a little bit of pear and large.
I'm getting to my point, my wonderful sister.
You killed it. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. What I'm trying, it was like it meant to be a funny pearl, like get out of your box, get out of your pear. Mm,
okay, keep going. Okay,
yeah. No, but you know, you got to imagine some people that have been caught in the rigors of real obesity.
Mm-hmm.
They can't let go of I'm the fat girl or I'm that fat guy.
Mm.
And doctors are starting to find out doctors who are working with obese people. And this is going to be able to help people just even with a few pounds overweight too. This is where it starts. They're starting to find out that it's ultimately a mind game.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but if doctors, this is an interesting psychologist, Dr. David Stoop. And he said he's worked with many people with weight problems, and one of the most important parts of the treatment is for the individuals to regularly practice creating a visual image of themselves as if they're thin. The degree of difficulty, this is him, I'm just quoting, in ridding the body of excess weight is related to the difficulty they have creating that mental image of themselves 50 or 100 pounds thinner. The mind is incredible. The mind is incredible. So he's saying, yeah, all your exercise and your diet programs, they're great, and that's all part of it. But if you are constantly saying, oh, I'm that fat girl, or I'm that fat girl, or I have weight issues, you're going to have so much of a hard time losing weight. It starts with the mind and it ends in the mind. Okay, suck your lollipop and come up with a different idea.
I think we're good. I think we're done. Half hour's good for an
Unshow complete. Unshow. Goodbye, friends. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye, Zollipop.